Tirish. Tirish, are you there?
Is that you, Big Then?
Yes, where are you? It's so dark in here, I can't see a thing.
I'm over here. Close the door. Then your eyes will quickly adjust to the darkness. You're sure no one followed you here?
Quite.
I hope you're right. If King Ahasuerus had even the slightest suspicion that we were plotting against him, he would have us hanged at once. Did you talk to any of the generals or army chiefs?
Yes, and I'm sure that once Ahasuerus is out of the way, they will support our cause immediately. For the most part, they're very disgusted with the way in which the king conducted his disastrous campaign against the Greeks, in which our armies were so shamefully defeated.
Good, good. Their support will be needed.
What about former Queen Vashti's courtiers? Do you feel that they will support us?
I'm quite certain they will. Now that Vashti is no longer queen, they have lost their influence with the king. Several that I have been able to talk to are very disgruntled. Between them and the army, I think our plan will be successful. When do you think we should kill him?
The sooner the better. He completely trusts us, at least at present. The longer we wait, the more chance there is that someone might find out about our plans. And you know what would happen then.
Yes.
Say, Uncle Dan, your story sounds like it's going to be exciting.
Oh, it certainly is, Aunt Sue. It's a continuation of the story about the beautiful young girl named Esther.
I remember that Esther had just been chosen to be queen over the land of Persia.
That's right, Aunt Sue. And in this story, she learns why God exalted her to such a high position.
I'm anxious to hear what happens to her in this episode. Who were those two men we heard at the start of your story? Did they really kill the king?
Well, let's not get ahead of things. They were two of the king's most trusted eunuchs. And it was their responsibility to guard the entrance to the king's quarters. Yet they were planning to kill him themselves. You can read about it in your Bible, the book of Esther, chapters 2-5. I call this part of our series
The Forgotten, Forgotten Reward.
When Esther was removed from her home with Mordecai and taken to the king's palace, she was continually remembered in the prayers of her relative Mordecai, who had brought her up and taught her to always be true to the God of heaven.
And Lord, again tonight I pray that you will be with my child Esther. Help her always to remember that she is also thy child, and that she must serve thee, the King of Kings, as well as King Ahasuerus. At the palace she has so many temptations. Give her the strength to meet each new temptation victoriously, and guide her in thy paths of truth.
And every day Mordecai walked in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and how she fared.
Hatak! Hatak! May I speak with you a minute?
Of course, Mordecai! You want to know about your girl Esther again, I presume.
How is she? Have you seen her lately?
Yes! Just yesterday, I delivered a portion of food to her quarters. I told her how you came to the courtyard every day and asked about her.
You did?
She said that she has seen you from her window many times. I think she appreciates your concern for her welfare.
May God bless her. Did she seem to be well and happy?
Oh, very definitely. You know, I think you worry about her too much.
Perhaps. Perhaps I do. But she's my joy and blessing. I cannot forget her.
Good morning, Mordecai.
Is it well with my child, Esther?
Oh, she's fine. Haggai, the chief eunuch, has just appointed 7 maids to serve her. 7 of the finest in the kingdom.
How is Esther?
Couldn't be better. Yesterday, I helped her move into larger quarters. Haggai has given her the best apartment in the harem. Good morning, Mordecai. Tomorrow, Esther will make her appearance before the king.
Lords, ladies, princes, I present to you my choice for our new queen, Queen Esther.
Long live Queen Esther! Long live Queen Esther!
But even after Esther was queen, Mordecai continued to make inquiry concerning her. Then, one day...
Hatak! Hatak!
Why, good morning, Mordecai! Esther is fine as usual. She is preparing a banquet for the king.
I must see her and talk with her.
See her?
It's a matter of the greatest importance. It concerns the well-being and safety of the king. I must see her at once.
Well, I don't know. Couldn't you just send a message to her? She's very busy just now.
The message I bring, I dare not write out. I must see her and deliver it myself. Is there no way that you can allow me to see her?
Well, we can try. Well, come along. I'll take you to see Hegai, the chief eunuch. We must get his permission first.
Finally, Mordecai is brought into the presence of Queen Esther.
Mordecai, to see Her Majesty, Queen Esther!
Come forward, Cousin Mordecai. Do you have a request or a petition to make?
No, my child. I have no request but that you take a message of the greatest importance to the king.
A message? But, Mordecai, it's not my position to deliver messages to the king.
The message concerns a plot to take the king's life. Since I do not know exactly who might be involved in the plot, I cannot send the message in the usual manner.
Oh.
Therefore, I came to you, for I knew that you would know how to deal in this matter.
I see. You've acted very wisely, Mordecai. I'll see the king tonight and give him the message myself. Now tell me all that you know of this plot.
Well, yesterday, as I was sitting at the king's gate, I happened to notice one of the king's eunuchs who guarded the threshold, Tirish by name, enter an empty room near the king's gate. Now, I thought it was strange that he should go into that room, as it's not been used for several months. Then a little later, I saw another of the eunuchs who guard the threshold, Big Than by name, also enter the same room. Now, when Big Than approached the room, he looked all around him, as if he was trying to see if anyone might see him enter the room. Therefore, I appeared to pay no attention to him. But after he had gone in, I went near the doorway and overheard their conversation.
Are you sure that no one saw you come in here?
Of course I'm sure. How dumb do you think I am? I'm well aware what King Ahasuerus would do if he had even the most remote suspicion of our plot.
We must put our plan into effect at the earliest opportunity. Perhaps we have already delayed too long. Maybe the king is even now suspicious.
Oh, you worry too much. He knows nothing unless you've let it out.
I haven't let anything out. But I can't help but be more and more concerned as the event approaches. When are we next scheduled to be on guard together at His Majesty's quarters?
3 nights from tonight.
Then we must kill him at that time. Now, here's the way we'll do it. As the king enters the gate, we'll both be...
And Mordecai told Queen Esther all that he had heard concerning the plot. And Esther told the king in the name of Mordecai.
Captain, I want you to arrest immediately two of the eunuchs who guard my threshold, Big Than and Tirish by name, and bring them to my audience chamber at once.
At once, sir. Big Than and Tirish to see His Majesty, King Ahasuerus.
Bring them forward.
Long live the king.
Long live the king indeed. If you two had your way, I wouldn't see the light of another day.
I'm afraid we don't understand, Your Majesty.
Oh, you don't. Well, I understand that you two have formed a plot to kill me. You, who have been promoted to the positions of greatest trust. Is this the way you show your gratitude?
Why no, Your Majesty. I wouldn't harm you, Your Majesty. I was aware of the plot, but I was planning to warn you about it this very day, Your Majesty. Big Than is the one who planned...
Now, what do you mean, I planned it? You had as much to do with it as I did.
It was your idea to start with.
Well, it must have been your carelessness that let the knowledge slip out.
Stop! I have heard enough. You are both guilty of the highest treason. Captain, take these two out and hang them immediately.
Yes, Your Majesty. Immediately.
And the affair was recorded in the Book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. Normally, one who would reveal such a plot to the king would have been given great rewards. But apparently King Ahasuerus was so concerned about investigating the affair and seeing that the offenders were punished that he forgot to reward the faithful Mordecai who had saved his life. Now there was another of the king's servants named Haman, and King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the Agagite, and advanced him above all the other princes so that he was next to the king.
Haman, newly appointed prime minister, to see His Majesty.
You may come forward, Haman.
Long live the king.
Arise, Haman. State your request.
Your Majesty,
We, your humble subjects, always bow before you because we believe that you are the incarnation of our great god, Ahura Mazda.
Well, at least some believe that.
Therefore, we bow in worship before you.
I am aware of all this, but what do you desire?
Your Majesty, as your prime minister and the second in your kingdom, don't you feel that it would be only proper and right that your subjects should bow down and worship me also?
Well, I don't know. Why should they?
Your Majesty, in bowing down to me, they would be really worshipping you. For I am your representative, and as I pass through the streets of the capital, it would give your subjects the opportunity to show their reverence and loyalty to you, O King.
Do you really think so?
Oh, definitely, Your Majesty, definitely. Now, I have prepared a document to this effect. All that is needed is for you to place your seal upon it, and it shall become a royal decree.
Well, I suppose it won't do any harm. Here, give it to me, and I'll seal it.
Worship, Haman, second to the king, passes. Bow and worship, Haman, second to the king, passes. Bow and worship, Haman, second to the king, passes. Bow and worship, Haman, second to the king, passes.
Mordecai, why don't you bow down when Haman passes as the king has ordered?
In all matters where the king has the right to command, I obey. But I cannot bow down and worship this man, for he claims that which should be given only to God.
Well, he's obviously no god. But he has succeeded in getting the king to sign a decree that all are to bow before him, and to refuse is to disobey the king.
I have read the decree.
Then why do you refuse to obey it?
I am a Hebrew. I serve the living God, the God of heaven. He has commanded that I should not bow down to any other god.
Well, would you also then refuse to bow down before King Ahasuerus?
I would bow in submission before him, or in loyalty or obedience. But I could not bow in worship before him.
If you could bow in submission before King Ahasuerus, why can't you bow in submission before Haman?
I would bow in submission before him. But in the decree that Haman had the king sign, he states the reason for the people to bow before him is to worship him. Therefore, if I were to bow before him, I would acknowledge that he has a claim to divine worship. And as a Hebrew, I cannot do that.
Then the king's servants, who were at the king's gate, reasoned with Mordecai. And when they had spoken to him day after day, and he would not listen to them, they told Haman in order to see whether Mordecai's words would avail.
Haman, are you aware that there is a man who sits at the king's gate who refuses to bow before you when you pass?
What? What? Why, how dare he? Who is he? What's his name? Does he think for a minute that he can disobey the king's command and get away with it? Well, what's his name?
His name is Mordecai, sir.
Mordecai? I've never heard of him. What does he do?
He serves the king at the royal gate.
Well, then he certainly must be aware of the royal decree that all are to bow before me.
Oh, he is aware of the decree. But he says that he cannot bow before you because of religious reasons.
Religious reasons? Why, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. What kind of religion does he have, anyway?
He is a Hebrew, sir.
Oh, a Hebrew. I've heard of them. They're scattered all over the 127 provinces. So a Hebrew's religion won't let him bow before me, huh? Well, we'll see about that.
Good evening, dear. Have a good day?
Oh, I had a miserable day.
Oh?
There's a Hebrew who sits at the king's gate who refuses. Refuses, mind you, to bow down before me.
Why, that should be a simple matter to take care of. Ask the king to have him put to death for refusing to obey a royal decree.
But he refuses because he's a Hebrew.
So?
Don't you see what it means? There are thousands and thousands of Hebrews scattered all over the kingdom. Certainly I could have this one put to death. But what about the next Hebrew that I should happen to meet? Or the one after that? Or any Hebrew? Since they claim that their religion won't allow them to bow before me, then everywhere I go, there they'll be, insulting me. I must do away with them. I've got to kill every last Hebrew that walks the face of the earth.
But you can't do that.
Don't tell me what I can and can't do. I'm Haman, second in the kingdom, and don't you forget it.
I know well who you are, my dear. But even you cannot wantonly go about killing anyone you please.
I'll get the king to issue a royal decree that all Hebrews are to be put to death.
Oh, don't be so foolish, Haman. The king would never sign such a decree. Haven't the Hebrews always been loyal, law-abiding subjects?
Yeah, who cares? I think I'm beginning to see how to handle the situation. The king's treasury is in dire need of additional funds. A recent disastrous war with the Greeks has drained heavily upon it. If I offer the king a large enough sum, one that would more than offset the loss of revenue to the crown from the slain Hebrews, perhaps he'll be favorable. And better still, I won't tell him just what nationality is involved. I'll use general terms to describe
them. Then where will you get enough money to offset so great a loss of revenue?
Why, from the Hebrews themselves. I'll confiscate their property when I kill them. The riches held by the Hebrews here in Shushan alone would be equal to several times a king's ransom.
Are you sure? Maybe they're not as wealthy as you believe. Huh? We might end up losing our great riches if your scheme doesn't work. Haman, I couldn't bear to be poor again.
Oh, don't worry. The plan will work. Soon you will be the wife of the richest man in all the kingdom. And what's more, then there won't be any who refuse to bow before me. I shall be as great as the king. Come, come. We waste precious time. I must determine the proper day to go in before the king and also set the day for the slaughter of the Hebrews. Send for my wise men and astrologers. We'll cast the lot to find the correct and lucky days.
Then they cast Pur, that is, the lot, before Haman to determine the day of the month.
The 13th. The 13th day of the month will be the lucky day.
Next, the month was determined by again casting lots.
Oh, the 12th month? Not until then? Why, that's almost a year from now. Very well, the 12th month it shall be. On the 13th day of the 12th month, then shall I have my revenge on that insolent Mordecai who refuses to bow down and worship me.
Haman, the second in the kingdom to see his majesty.
Good morning, Haman.
Long live the king.
Arise and come forward.
Thank you, your majesty.
What do you have to see me about this morning?
Your majesty is your prime minister. I've always completely carried out your desires and commands, and I have followed carefully all the policies that you have set forth.
Yes.
Now, it has been your policy, and therefore mine also, to settle your subjects in a quiet life and to make your kingdom peaceable, hasn't it?
That is correct.
Therefore, you have established a stable government, and you make decrees when the need arises so your subjects can know your desires.
From time to time, yes.
Since all this is true, I feel that I must bring to your attention a most alarming conspiracy that I have discovered.
Oh?
There's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of every other people, and they do not keep the king's laws.
They do not keep my laws?
Well, your majesty, they keep only the laws that they wish to keep, and they ignore the ones that they do not wish to keep. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to tolerate them.
Why, of course not.
Your majesty, shouldn't it be decreed that all these people who disobey you be put to death?
Why, of course, definitely. How many people are involved in this conspiracy?
It is hard to estimate exactly, your majesty, but several hundred at least.
Several hundred? Why hasn't this been brought to my attention sooner?
I don't know, your majesty. Just as soon as I discovered the matter, I, of course, came to you at once.
Several hundred? Oh, their death will cause a large loss of revenue to the treasury, won't it?
If it please the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who have charge of the king's business, that they may put it into the king's treasuries.
10,000 talents? Why, that's a substantial portion of the total yearly revenue.
Yes.
Is it truly worth 10,000 talents to you for this people that you have spoken of to be destroyed?
Why, Your Majesty, it's not for me that they are to be destroyed, but for you, O King, for they obey not your laws.
But Haman, I cannot for a minute consider your offer. It would surely be looked upon as a bribe.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Nevertheless, Haman, since the matter seems to be of such great importance to you, here is my signet ring from off my hand. The money is given to you, the people also. Do with them as it seems good to you.
Zeresh! Zeresh, where are you?
I'm right here. What do you want? Oh, apparently your request to the king was granted.
Granted? It was more than granted. Soon you'll be the richest woman in all the city, in all the world, for that matter. Here. Do you see this?
Oh, what is it?
That is the king's signet ring. He was so grateful to me for informing him about the Hebrews that he took his ring off his hand and gave it to me, so that I may make up the decree myself. And by using this ring, it will immediately become royal law.
You told him it was the Hebrews you want destroyed?
Oh, no, of course not. He doesn't care who the people are, only that they do not obey his laws.
Oh, I hope you're right, Haman. Yet somehow I can't get over the fear that something will go wrong with your plans.
Go wrong? Ah, what could go wrong now? I have the king's permission to make the decree. I have the king's ring to seal it. And once it becomes law, there's no one, not even the king himself, who can change it. And I will see that there are no loopholes when I write the decree. It would be impossible for anything to go wrong now.
Look! One of the royal couriers is approaching. We better get out of the way. Hear ye, hear ye. By official order of His Majesty, Ahasuerus, King of all Persia and Media, it is hereby decreed that all people from the land of Judah, who are known as Hebrews, are to be destroyed, to be slain and to be annihilated, young and old, women and children in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and their goods shall be plundered.
I wonder why the king's decreed the death of the Hebrews. What did they do?
I don't know, but there's a very wealthy family of them that live near me. Now I know how I'll get the money to pay my taxes this year, thanks to that royal decree.
Now when Mordecai learned all that had been done, he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, wailing with a loud and bitter cry. And he went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth.
Your Majesty, may I speak with you for a minute?
Why, of course, Hatak. What is it?
Mordecai, your guardian, who comes often to ask about you, is at the entrance of the king's gate clothed in sackcloth and ashes, and wailing with a loud and bitter cry as though some near kinsman has just died.
Kinsman died? We have no close kinsman. I wonder what's happened. Is he there now?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Then go and bring him here that I may inquire concerning his sorrow. Take him a clean robe from the servants' quarters and a pair of sandals so that he may take off his sackcloth and enter the palace.
At once, Your Majesty. Long live the queen! Your Majesty, Mordecai would not accept the garments that you sent. Therefore, I could not bring him unto you.
That's strange. Did he give you any reason for his actions?
No, Your Majesty. Only something to the effect that his sorrow was too great for him to remove his sackcloth and cease from mourning.
I can't imagine for what or who he mourns. Hatak, since he cannot come here to tell me why he mourns, you shall have to go unto him again and find out the exact nature of his sorrow.
Yes, Your Majesty. It shall be done as you desire.
When Hatak went out to Mordecai in the city in front of the king's gate, Mordecai told him all that had happened, and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Hebrews. Mordecai also gave Hatak a copy of the written decree, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and charge her to go to the king to make supplication for her people. And Mordecai sent this word unto Esther.
Think not that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Hebrews. Who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?